And so here Almighty God, the one who has the power to point his finger and send constellations into the sky, burning in their place and following their orbits, Almighty God stands and holds out his hand to omnipotent man in his own realm and sphere and says, "As I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn and live. Turn ye, for why will ye die?"
Here is a man that's learned that there's only one way to carry the ark of God. Have you learned it? Have you learned that the only way up is down, the only way to live is to die, the only way that wheat can bring forth is to fall into the ground and die? As you are going into all the world, preach. That's the commandment. And I said to the guide, "Where was the Bema?" "Oh," he said, "you speak Greek." I said, "No, I don't speak Greek." "You said Bema, that's Greek." "I know it's Greek." "Well, why do you say Bema?" "Because for many, many years I've been expecting to stand before the Bema." He said, "You can't. It isn't here anymore. When they remade this, they didn't put the Bema in there." I said, "What was it?" "Well," he said, "it was a balcony where the judges sat. And where they would bring the people that had won, they'd come up on some steps, and the judges at the Bema would give them a crown of laurel leaves." Can you imagine these fellows going out and getting killed, and or someone trying to kill them, and all they get when they finish was laurel leaves? And it faded away, and I had a vision. Now, I don't know whether I was awake, whether I was asleep, whether I saw it, or whether I imagined it. And I don't care. It was more real than anything that was around me. I saw a vast temple on a high hill. And then in a moment I was in a line of people going into great doors at that temple. And in another moment I was up to the door, and a servant, probably an angel, reached over and brought a package and said, "Here, take this." And I picked the package up. It wasn't large and it wasn't heavy. I carried it with me through the doors, and there I saw the Lamb seated upon the throne, more glorious than anything that had ever been written or painted of him. And in that moment, I knew what it was. I was to appear before him. And there in my hand was my life. And my works were going to be tried, whether good or bad, whether wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, or precious stone. The line moved, and I was next. A servant said, "Give me the package," and I did. There was a furnace there at the foot of the where the Lord was seated, and a flame that burned with nothing to fuel it. And my package was put in there, and the flame covered it. A moment later, a servant picked up a tool. I didn't see the tool till later. And after I heard it grating on the furnace, and then I heard the voice of the servant say, "Stretch out your hands," and I reached out my hand to take a crown. And the voice said, "Cup your hands." And a little shovel with a cover on it was put over my cupped hands, and the light contents from within slid out into my palms. And when I brought it around in front of me and looked, all I had was a handful of ashes. Ashes. Oh, I'd served. I'd given my food to feed the poor, my money to help the lost. I'd given my body to be burned. I'd been a missionary. I'd had the wrong motives, wrong attitude, wrong relationship, wrong resources. What I'd done, so much of what I'd done to be seen. And I dropped my hand. I looked at the Lord, and the look in his eye made me weep. I had nothing to give him for my life. And I knew that I would have wept perhaps for eternity. I was there, but my life had been wasted. And I followed my filtering ashes down, and I found I was standing in a carpet of ashes. He looked at me. He dried my tears by that look of tender love and forgiveness. And I turned, and the next thing I heard was, "Mister, hurry, hurry, we're waiting for you. What are you standing there for?" And I walked out to the limousine, shocked. I suppose there have been very few days that I haven't thought about that, and asked the Lord to help me so to live and to minister that in that day there will be something to lay at His nail-pierced feet.
Did y'all have that experience? You know, I'd learn about my authority in Christ, and I learned that I had been given authority to trample down snakes and serpents and all this, and I would enter, and nothing would happen. And I remember the Lord spoke to me and said, and there was no submission to authority in my life, and therefore I had no authority. And I thought, it doesn't say that, but then I remember it says, submit to God, resist the devil. And the way you submit to God is through submission to authority. I mean, it's the only way to break the self-will in us. How many people are looking for their self-worth in the kingdom? And they'll present themselves to you, "I'm an intercessor, I'm this, I'm this." I mean, you hear it all the time. And a lot of these people have shortcutted themselves to where they're at. They have not been willing to make the hard choices, to serve in the nursery, to do those kinds of things. And they're reading these really spiritual books by these really spiritual authors, and they're thinking, "This is what I need to be," but no one's telling them how you get there. No one's telling you that this really spiritual author who wrote this really spiritual book had served and discipled and died to themselves for years before God was able to create this anointing. And these people who write the books, I think they forget too, because they never talk about that. I promise you, sometimes when I read these books, it seems like everybody's trying to outdo themselves with who had the biggest vision, who had the greatest revelation from God. I just get this feeling in my gut. And a lot of these people probably didn't start that way, but they're so far from the nursery. I think everybody needs to keep doing the nursery. I don't care if you are who you are, because there's something about changing a diaper that's humbling.